Pacifica Radio's audio archives contain rare sound from the last 50 years of the nation's history. Pacifica is currently raising money to preserve those archives. The Public Radio Network has stations in Berkeley, Los Angeles, Houston, New York City, and Washington, D.C. Pacifica's flagship station, KPFA, was founded in 1949 by pacifist Lewis Hill, a conscientious objector during World War II. Brian DeShazer, director of the archives, says that from the beginning, Pacifica Radio has championed constitutional free speech and social activism.
Pacifica Radio is the precursor to PBS and NPR and other public-funded outlets. The idea of free speech and the First Amendment is in the mission statement. So when we listen to the recordings that we have, we understand that people felt they weren't going to be censored, so they had freedom to speak their ideas, however radical that they were.
Paul Robeson is one of the best-known artists to have been effectively banned from performing as a result of anti-communist hysteria in the 1950s. In a 1958 interview on KPFA, Robeson was asked if his art had suffered because of his political views and actions.
They've suffered by the fact that because of my political views, which I certainly did not expect in a democracy, that I've been prevented from exercising my craft. On the other hand, I have never separated my work as an artist from my work as a human being. I've always put it even more strongly. To me, my art is always a weapon.
Were most of these interviews conducted out of the Berkeley station?
Yes, being that the Berkeley station started in 1949 and the Los Angeles station, which was the next station, started in 1959. So the first 10 years, the bulk of the recordings do come from the Berkeley station.
Now, are these interviews, are they all from interviews or speeches? What?
They really run the gamut. We do have, you know, the in-house or in-studio interview, but a wealth of the materials are in the street, anti-war protest rallies, the Black Panther Party rallies, the social issue rallies that were going on in Berkeley and in New York as the New York station entered into the family. So what we have are a plethora of speeches, lectures at universities, interviews, music, and documentaries. So with the idea and the mission statement of journalists and artists coming together, there's a huge, huge amount of poetry and literature and interviews with writers. So that's sort of where the bulk is.
And in at least one case, testimony by William Mandel before the House Un-American Activities Committee.
William Mandel was a Pacifica radio programmer who was called in front of the committee.
Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
Honorable beaters of children and sadists uniformed and in plain clothes. Distinguished Dixiecrat wearing the clothing of a gentleman. If you think that I am going to cooperate with this collection of Judases, of men who sit there in violation of the United States Constitution.
In some cases, I think these are unique. These recordings don't exist from any other source.
Right. When we look at Rosa Parks, the Rosa Parks clip is one of the earliest I'm aware of. She still has a calm determination, and you can sort of hear in her voice an innocence because it was still prior to the civil rights movement as it sort of grew and became successful.
Well, Mrs. Parks, what in the world ever made you decide to be the person who, after all these years of Jim Crow and segregation, what made you at that particular moment decide you were going to keep that seat?
I felt that I was not being treated right and that I had a right to retain the seat that I had taken as a passenger on the bus.
Because nobody else was covering these materials at that time, that's why they're so unique. And some of the other recordings like Malcolm X, Angela Davis, James Baldwin.
What one deals with in the world, every day really, isn't the world's malice or even the world's indifference. It's the world's ignorance. And it's not ignorance of me as a Negro or the fact of Negro life as such. It's an ignorance of a certain level of life which no one has ever respected or which has never been real in America.
Another civil rights leader, Fannie Lou Hamer, describing her beating in Mississippi.
And I just began to scream where I couldn't control it. And then the white man got up and began to beat me in the head. I have a blood clot now in the artery to the left eye and a permanent kidney injury on the right side from that beating. These are the things that we go through in the state of Mississippi, just trying to be treated like a human being. But still, this is called a part of America.
You can hear in Fannie Lou Hamer not only the suffering and the background that she came from a poor sharecropper's family, a grandchild of a slave, you can hear what that experience was like for her, and you can hear also how she became empowered by that experience.
You have the Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of Tibet, journalist Izzy Stone, some artist Langston Hughes, the poet. You also have jazzman John Coltrane, who didn't give a lot of interviews.
That had been recorded in the parking lot of a venue where he had just performed.
As far as spirituality is concerned, which are very important to me at this time, I want to be a force for good. In other words, I know that there are bad forces. You know, I know that there are forces out here which bring suffering to others and misery to the world. But I want to be the opposite force. I want to be a force which is truly for good.
You're trying to preserve these. I must say they're pretty well preserved already. They sound good.
A bulk of them are in good shape because of the rare nature and because we do serve the five stations and our affiliate stations with historical perspective recordings. So a lot of these recordings are heard by the Pacifica listener on a regular basis at anniversary times or like now in Black History Month. But there is such a large portion of the archives that is deteriorating rapidly, as are other sound libraries of this age, 1949 era, and in terms of tape stock, the acetate tape. There was a Mylar tape in the 70s that was developed that we now know was worse than the original acetate from the 50s. So the newer stuff is actually in more danger than the older materials from the 50s and 60s.
Brian DeShazer is director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. An extended version of our discussion and more recordings from the Pacifica Archives are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.